relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Joseph Robinette Biden. You know, he called Southern segregationists fine gentlemen. You know, he's been in Washington for half a century, and that now he shills for the radical extremists like AOC and Bernie. But do you know who Joe Biden really is? But you're about to find out on America First with Dr. G.
We opened the show with Stephen K. Bannon, and we open the second hour with Peter Schweizer, the man who has been revealing the extent of corruption in the swamp for years and is more important than ever. Peter, welcome back to America First.
Seb, great to be with you. Thanks for having me as always.
When it comes, you've created amazing books. You've got Profiles in Corruption. You've got the movie Riding the Dragon. Can I ask you a very tactical, it may even be operational or even strategic, but at the first level, let's say it's tactical, very tactical question. When it comes to the latest revelations about the Biden family, China, and the laptop, should it not be noted by all Americans, Peter, that the Biden family, the Biden campaign, and Biden's lawyers have not denied that this is, in fact, his laptop?
Yeah, that is exactly right, Seb. And by the way, that's keeping with everything as it relates to this story. I mean, we've talked about it before. You know, we exposed the $1.5 billion private equity deal. We exposed the other deals that Hunter Biden has enjoyed in China. They've never denied them. They've attacked me. They've said that this was a smear campaign. They have never actually denied them because they are true. And you're right. I mean, I have not seen the New York Post emails. I mean, to the extent that they published and I've seen them, but I have no direct access to them. But you are exactly right. The Biden campaign has not challenged the authenticity. And it seems to me that would be a pretty easy thing to do if they were fake. And, you know, to be able to call them out.
And this idea, when it comes to the Ukrainian corruption, the email from Hunter Biden's Burisma colleague at the top of that company, who said, thank you for setting up that meeting with your father, the vice president. The argument, Peter, just talk to us, for those who may not be familiar with the way D.C. works, when the Biden campaign says that meeting with the third or second highest individual at that Ukrainian company wasn't on the vice president's schedule, therefore it didn't happen. Your response?
Yeah, it's laughable. In fact, we reported, based on the emails that I've gotten access to from a separate Biden business partner, the same thing involved a Chinese delegation to the White House, the so-called CEC, which is the China Entrepreneurs Club. It's actually, despite its benign-sounding name, is linked to the Chinese government. And in the emails reveal that they secured White House meetings for that group. If you look at the official calendar, there's no mention of a meeting with Joe Biden, but Seb, members of that group later on their Chinese language blogs report that they had a private meeting with Joe Biden. So this is a very apparently a very important tactic for the Bidens, which is to avoid scrutiny by having off-calendar meetings. And again, they have not denied or said that the meeting between the Ukrainian official and the vice president took place. All they've simply said is that it's not on the official calendar, which, okay, great. That just is evidence to me that you're trying to conceal something.
So let's put this into context. Peter Schweizer, you have a reputation for just being a pit bull when it comes to uncovering corruption on both sides of the aisle, whether it's Republicans that you covered in Secret Empires, whether it's the book Clinton Cash, or whether it's Profiles in Courage. Let's put politics aside for a second. Let's say that this is just a scientific examination of a data set. We've got a selection of petri dishes or test tubes in front of us with varying cases of corruption at different extents of corruption. When you look at what we know already that you have uncovered in your own research and what we have heard in the last 72 hours when it comes to Hunter Biden's laptop, on the scale of swamp corruption, Peter Schweizer, where is this Biden family?
Well, I tell you, of the known samples that we have, right, it's got to be a 10. And I say that for two reasons. One is the breadth of it. The Biden family, I call them the Biden Five. It involves multiple members of the family. There was a Republican senator that I once exposed that had three family members that were engaged in corrupt deals. The Bidens have five. So you have the breadth of it. But even more importantly than that, you have what the corruption actually involves. This is not corruption involving a, you know, paving contractor who wants a road paving contract from a government official. We're actually talking about Chinese state-owned companies. We're talking about CEFC, which is a Chinese energy company linked to the PLA, the Chinese military. We're talking about financial institutions that are controlled by the Chinese government. These are the deals that they're doing. And, you know, as much as some people want to say, well, this is more of a Hunter Biden problem, it's not. It's a Biden problem. It's a Joe Biden problem because precisely for the fact that these deals exist because of Joe Biden's political power. That's why these deals were secured. Hunter Biden did not have any background that would give him qualification to be qualified for these positions. The same thing applies to the other members of the Biden family.
So it is fair to say that in the last week, this has transmuted from being Hunter Biden's problem, and this is now Joe Biden's.
Yes, I think absolutely. You can't separate them. I mean, you know, you see that. The Washington Post ran a piece a couple of days ago saying, you know, that this is a sort of a phony
non-scandal written by the same man who committed a felony when he divulged the identity of General Flynn in that intercept of that communication with the Russian ambassador. The same author called this a non-scandal.
Yeah, and he called it a non-scandal, and this is the tactic now. They're essentially going to throw Hunter Biden under the bus and say, you know, Hunter has had these substance abuse issues, and he has, and nobody should be happy about that. But this, he did not get the deals because he had a substance abuse issue. He got the deals because he is a Biden. And these foreign entities, whether it's Ukraine or China, they know they're going to do deals with family members if the families are going to play ball. They're not in the charity business. You know, you're not going to get Russian oligarchs or Ukrainians or Chinese to just hand money to politicians' families. They're expecting something in return. And the question we have talked about before many times is, what was Hunter Biden getting paid for? And the evidence is pretty clear now. Not just Hunter Biden was getting paid, but in a sense, he was holding money in part for his father because they wanted to keep that money off the books and not known to other people.
He's the author of Profiles in Corruption, Clinton Cash. Follow him, Peter Schweizer. Also, the incredible movie Riding the Dragon about the Biden criminal family's corruption. Peter, in the last couple of minutes we have, let me ask you the naive question. I think for many, maybe not most, but for many Americans, Joe Biden for the last 47 years has just been the kind of, oh, shucks, amiable guy from Pennsylvania. Why did this only become a story now? This level of corruption, how could it have been kept under wraps, literally, Peter, for decades?
It's a great question. You know, part of it is he's a senator from a small state. There's nothing wrong with that, but he's from a small state and a strongly Democratic state. So he's never really faced a serious challenger that might have the resources to bring this thing to light. But the other reason, honestly, is it takes a lot of work. I mean, we first exposed this in my 2018 book, Secret Empires, where we talk about the Ukraine and the China deals. That's before any of this stuff erupted. And the deals involving the Bidens and China took us 9 months of research, going through Chinese corporate records, Chinese materials, legal documents, et cetera. So, you know, they did a very good job of sort of covering this up, of covering the trail. So I think the combination of he has never really faced a serious challenger, and it's a complex story over the course of his career, is the reason that he was able to slide through it. Plus, I think the fact that Joe Biden has been very shrewd in cultivating relationships in the mainstream media. He leaks some stories, he shares things, and reporters are sometimes reluctant, often reluctant, to go after their sources.
But not any longer. We have peeked behind the curtain thanks to Peter Schweizer, to people like Stephen K. Bannon, America's Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and a handful of others, including Devin Nunes. Back with my colleague, Charlie Kirk. Don't touch that dial.
And I would just say to my Democrat colleagues, these years now, this pattern and practice, as we say in the law, of religious bigotry, because that's what it is. When you tell somebody that they're too Catholic to be on the bench, when you tell them they're going to be a Catholic judge, not an American judge, that's bigotry. The pattern and practice of bigotry from members of this committee must stop.
That's what it is, plain and simple, bigotry. We created this nation to get away from that, and we have to fight to stop the persecution today. And there is an organization that takes that fight all the way to the Supreme Court, winning 8 out of 11 cases in recent years. It's the Alliance Defending Freedom. Please support them. This is for all of our rights, whether it's freedom of speech or whether it's religious liberty, freedom of conscience, or whether it's just those high school athletes, those girls who are being forced to compete against biological males and seeing their dreams crushed. The Alliance Defending Freedom helps all of us to exercise our God-given rights. Support them at sebgorka.com. Click on the ADF banner. Make an investment of $100 or whatever your best gift might be. Or you can call them on 877-412-5888. That's 877-412-5888. Or just go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the ADF banner. I haven't discussed it enough, but I mentioned it once. I'm back from California. We had an incredible event. It's called America's Town Hall 2020 with my Salem colleagues, Dennis Prager, Larry Elder, with Jennifer Horn, Brian Whitman, and our newest member of the Salem faculty. He is the founder and president of Turning Point USA, and he has graciously agreed to join us. Charlie Kirk, are you there?
I am here. Great to be here, Dr. Gorka.
So you made news and you shared it immediately as we walked on stage. You were sitting there waiting, and then you posted a tweet about election integrity and all these mail-in ballots and applications that are going out there. And as you pressed it, you were locked out of your account by Jack Dorsey and his jackbooted thugs. Charlie, tell us what the latest is and what you're going to do about it.
So I'm still locked out of Twitter. I have 1.8 million followers on Twitter, and I have not been able to tweet since last evening. I tweeted a widely reported story about 372,000 ballot applications that were rejected in Pennsylvania. I was quoting another story, and I did not include the word applications in my tweet. I just said ballots. And the story I was quoting said exactly that. And so the Twitter then basically used their ultimate authority to say, not just try and take exception with my tweet, but now they're holding my entire account hostage. It's like a Die Hard. It's like a scene out of Die Hard, like Nakatomi Plaza, that they're, I'm a prisoner of their kind of outrageous demands. And they are now demanding that I not necessarily apologize, but admit fault and guilt and delete the tweet. And I'm not doing that. So we're in a constant, we're kind of staring each other down right now, where Twitter is asking me to correct this tweet, of which when I tweeted it, it was absolutely completely and precisely correct on all the widely reporting available. By the way, Dr. Gorka, there is still a tweet up right now on Twitter that went viral that had 100,000 retweets that insinuated I was friends with the people that were trying to kidnap the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. You might have saw it. It was trending on Twitter last week.
No, who posted that?
I don't know, some anonymous Twitter account. That tweet was never asked to be removed. That tweet was never corrected. And yet it was so outrageous that even the mainstream media BuzzFeed said, no, Charlie Kirk is not involved in the plot to kidnap the Michigan governor. Now, why am I bringing that up? Is that they're allowed to spread blatant, intentional misinformation about me. And I quote a story that was widely reported, and then it gets adjusted 10 hours later, and they lock me out of my Twitter account. So I don't know how this will get resolved. However, I could tell you this, that these tech companies have way too much power, way too much power. We know this. We've said it. It's time for action, because the fact that I am not able to tweet is actual direct election interference.
So this isn't just about politics. I have in front of me a report from Fox News' Andrew O'Reilly. The top White House coronavirus advisor today, Dr. Scott Atlas of Stanford University, he had his tweet removed because he said something that Anthony Fauci said back in March. He posted a tweet that masks do not work to protect you. And the White House top coronavirus medical expert had Twitter interfere in his First Amendment rights. So here's the rub, Charlie. You're fighting political correctness on campuses across America. Please support his organization, Turning Point USA. But what do we do? As conservatives, we don't believe in big government. We don't want government overregulating anything. But we've come to a point where the social media platforms are the most powerful organs in America. So what is the conservative answer to this threat?
It's still being hotly debated, and I'd love to do this at length with you, because I know you took a little difference with my approach yesterday where I said we need to break them up. And I completely see it from your perspective, and I don't want to spend too much time on that right now.
Let me just want. For those who are curious.
Yeah.
My issue was, and a caller said this to me, you can't break them up because it doesn't necessarily mean that one left-wing Twitter will turn into 300 right and left-wing mini-Twitters. What if they're all left-wing? So that's the observation I made. But where are you leaning towards, Charlie?
Where I'm leaning towards is that in the digital era, it's impossible to petition your government without platform access. And so if we believe in first principles and we believe in the First Amendment and natural rights to be able to petition your government for redress and grievances, and you're not able to have access to your Twitter account, then your First Amendment rights are being violated. So Josh Hawley, for example, who you were playing some sound of,
yes,
he has the idea that if you have more than, let's say, 50 million active users, whatever arbitrary number, but a big number, right,
mm-hmm,
then you are not allowed to kick off a U.S. citizen if they're not an anonymous account. Now, I don't know if I agree with that, but I think it's interesting.
So this is interesting. Are we talking about over a certain threshold, you treat that social media platform as a public utility?
The public square. Well, okay. I don't know if it's the public utility, but you treat it as if it was no different than you're trying to file a petition outside of the U.S. Congress. What am I getting at here is that these tech companies under the current regulation, Section 230 does give them that immunity.
Yes.
I'm very skeptical that 230 is actually going to get repealed. because these tech companies have an incredible amount of power legislatively, and a lot of Republicans take money from these tech companies. Now, the FCC wants to clarify it. I hope that makes some difference. The one thing, though, that they fear more than anything else, Dr. Gorka, is the Sherman Antitrust Act. Facebook is a legitimate monopoly.
Yes.
They are. When you look at what they have done through not just digital communication, video processing, and then all of a sudden they buy a hardware company, Oculus, and a messenger company, WhatsApp, that's as close to a vertically integrated monopoly that we have seen in the last 100 years. Google the same. And so I'm not necessarily saying that we should take the Elizabeth Warren approach here and hate all wealth creation in every single, you know, every vertical. But at the same time, I don't think we should be inherently dogmatic about saying that every corporation is always on our side. That is not the approach I think we should take.
Definitely, that is most certainly the case. Listen to his new radio show here on the Salem Radio Network, also the Charlie Kirk podcast. Follow him, Charlie Kirk 11, and support his incredible organization, Turning Point USA, at tpusa.com. Thank you, Charlie. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Your calls next here on America First. FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at tunnel2towers.org. That's tunnel2towers.org. Thank you.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
I'm always impressed with Deep Voice Dave's timbre. It sounds artificial. Doesn't it sound programmed? It's too perfect, Shad. Do we think that Deep Voice Dave is real?
He's 100% real. I know this.
How?
Because
he's Leroy's buddy. We've never met him.
He has sent me audio.
But do you know
in the
if
past
he exists?
Who knows? Maybe he's a composite AI or something. You know,
right.
Like, you know, there's a bunker somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean where they, you know, pipe out Deep Voice Dave. But you can tell. There are certain audio cues that come out when you use artificial decibel dropping. And you can't hear that.
Yeah, he's just gone technical on me.
Okay.
He's just gone.
All right, let's go back to it.
AI somewhere deep
in the Atlantic Ocean.
But he's impressive, isn't he?
Yeah, very impressive.
I need proof that Deep Voice Dave is real. We're having far too much fun. That's the bottom line. This is America First. I need to share with you some of my experiences from the weekend. Oh, and by the way, I've got a puppy. Did you know that? I just realized. I need to share with you, Kurt Schlichter's dogs are called Barky and Bitey. Barky and Bitey. I think they're rather small. My dogs aren't small. Well, one of them is because it's a puppy. We'll talk about that in a second. But first things first, if you like this show, if you love talk radio as much as I do, please appreciate that we do not exist without our sponsors. And if you buy their products, are you going to use a pillow anyway? If you're not a person who doesn't use pillows, you're going to need a pillow. Well, then buy a pillow that makes our shows possible. In this case, it's Mike Lindell and the My Pillow. His empire spreads across numerous products, and you can get up to 50% off if you use my name at MyPillow.com. The mattress toppers, the pet beds. I've got to go to a new pet bed now for a new puppy. Her name is Leia. For obvious reasons, go to mypillow.com and use promo code GORKA for up to 50% off. So here's the issue. Oh, I have to share with you. So in the last hour, we opened in the break the envelope I received that I brought all the way home from California from Len. Thank you, Len. And he said, it's from a Trekkie. And what did he give me? 2 Star Trek masks. It's got all the characters on there. Very cool and nice quality. Thank you, Len. You know me, I refuse to wear a mask. But sometimes if you're going to get on a plane, you have to. And I did a long-haul flight, 2 long-haul flights this weekend. And I'm just going to tell you guys, masks are oppression. I've never sat that long with a mask on. And there is a psychological aspect to it. And do you know what the saddest part of it all was? I got on my plane in Washington, D.C. to fly all the way to San Francisco. And this woman got on the plane with her child, maybe 4 years old, and her nanny, of course. And the mother and the child looked like astronauts. Why? The little kid was in pink tracksuit. The mother was dressed casually. But both of them had what I would call a half hoodie. So it was a hoodie only from the lower shoulders up. And it was a hoodie with a complete bubble visor. So they looked like astronauts. The child was sitting on the mother's rollerboard luggage being pulled by the nanny, which had a special folded little seat cushion on the roll-on luggage for the child to sit on. I mean, really weird. And then the last one, which kind of made me despair for the future of our civilization. You know, buskers, you know, the people who play guitars and, you know, want you to give them a little tip when you're walking down the street. If they're playing a mouth organ, they have that device that holds the mouth organ in front of their mouth on a wire around their neck. The little girl in her astronaut bubble COVID hijab had around her neck a device to hold an iPhone about 6 inches from her face that she stared at for hours on the plane. What are we doing to ourselves? Forget about turning our brains into mush with that iPhone or our children's brains. Just the idea that all risk must be avoided. What happened to this nation? It's time to fight back. Time to find a spine. And perhaps most important of all, help others to have courage. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. And we are 15 days away from choosing.
Deepest voice in talk radio, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
What's his name again? Oh, yeah, Jeffrey Toobin. It is confirmed that is the man, I was right, who tried to pay off the woman he was having an affair with to terminate the child, meaning kill it, that was in her womb, who has now been fired from the New Yorker for videocasting his genitals during a Zoom call with his colleagues at the New Yorker. I have just one comment. Couldn't happen to a nastier guy. Ta-ta, Mr. Toobin. Can we start this segment again, Shad? Because I think we need some Star Trek music. Let's just drop some Wrath of Khan music in there. Can you do that for me? He's giving me the hang on a second signal. And let's pretend we're not live. Go. I hope you don't mind, guys, especially you on YouTube. We don't hear that, get to hear the music, but we have to play that. Why? Well, I remember a time under a former president when the NASA's space agency had as its primary mission outreach to the Muslim world. That is no longer the case under my boss, President Trump. And we are delighted. I don't know how we're going to fit this into 6 minutes, but we have with us again Deputy Administrator. How cool is it to be Deputy Administrator for NASA? Jim Mohart, are you there?
I am here, Sebastian. Excited to be with you.
So where do we begin? We've got so much to talk. Let's talk about Bennu. What is Bennu and what are you doing tomorrow?
All right. Bennu is an asteroid. And it's in our solar system, and we have got a mission called OSIRIS-REx, and it's going to just kiss Bennu. It's going to just touch down and basically blow some nitrogen at Bennu, kick up some dirt and dust, and then pick up that dirt and dust and bring it back to the United States so we can study it.
So you're going to land on an asteroid. NASA is going to land on an asteroid, do a little experiment, and then come home.
Real quick. We are at 6:08 p.m. tomorrow. So stay tuned. NASA Live Television.
Incredible NASA Live Television. Then we had that mission recently that I didn't realize was kind of like a test run up to the space station. And now you're going to have the Crew 1 launch. Tell our listeners about that.
All right. So we've got four astronauts going up to the space station, a woman, and three men, one of them being Japanese. And this is going to be our first crewed mission. This is really the beginning of a certified transportation system to low Earth orbit. Again, we're trying to expand the economy of low Earth orbit, which President Trump has told us to do. It's a $400 billion economy right now. It's going to get even larger. And the hope is we end up with commercial space stations. And again, that's what we're trying to do here. This is all commercialized. This is SpaceX rocket, SpaceX's capsule, and we're using them as a they're a service to NASA and to the government. And that's what we're trying to make happen now, is expand the economy in outer space.
Follow this man right now on Twitter, J. Mohart, M-O-R-H-A-R-D, Deputy Administrator for NASA. You can follow them at NASA. Jim, tell us what happened last week. What are the Artemis Accords?
You know, the Artemis Accords, Sebastian, really is about President Trump setting the table for the peaceful use of outer space. Everybody talks about the Space Force, but it's kind of like the, you know, sea lanes of commerce back in the Reagan era. Well, we have to protect those space lanes so that we can have commerce in outer space. So we're setting up these accords, which is really, it's operationalizing the Outer Space Treaty, which was signed by 110 countries in 1967. But it's getting these countries, we're getting a broad coalition of countries, and I'll name them, but it's talking about transparency, interoperability of equipment, helping others if they're in trouble, registering space objects, refraining from harmful interference of another country, and also trying to address orbital debris, which is a huge problem. So all these things, these are values that we care about, and we now have, you know, we've gotten a number of countries that have signed up: Australia, Canada, Italy, Japan, Luxembourg, United Arab Emirates, and United Kingdom, all with the United States. And I expect there are going to be even more coming.
But we're told that the world hates America under President Trump. How is this possible? How are the Artemis Accords possible, Jim?
Well, what is said and what is truth are two different things sometimes, Sebastian.
All right, I have to ask you this. You've only got a couple of minutes left with Jim Mohart. He is Deputy Administrator for NASA. I have to posit, but I need you on the inside to confirm this for me. After the doldrums, after the 8 years of Obama, when this was an underfunded agency, manned spaceflight wasn't important, we had to borrow Russian rockets, the Muslim world and outreach to it was the prime priority of NASA, according to President Obama. In the last 4 years, there must have been a sea change. Can you talk to us a little bit, Jim, for just the last minute? What's the morale like inside NASA?
Well, first off, President Trump lit a fire under NASA. And he said, get to the moon by 2024. in preparation to go to Mars. That's where he really wants to end up. This is about inspiring the next generation. It's also about creating even better technology that we can enjoy on Earth. And that's really coming from the president. And we're just executing what he's told us to do.
We did it before, and we're doing it again. We're going back to the moon. We're going to go to Mars. I just looked. I'm looking at Jim's Twitter account. You've got to follow it, Jay Morehard. But I just clicked on his bio where it says NASA. NASA, at NASA, has 41 million followers. I think a lot. I'd love to see how fast that grew.
Just a couple.
And I'd love to know, Jim, how fast that number grew in the last 4 years. It is cool again. You see the kids wearing the T-shirts. America's back. Space is back. And NASA is back. God bless you, Jim, and all of your colleagues at NASA for doing what you do. America, the only nation to put its flag on the moon 6 times. And there's a reason for that. Thank you, Jim. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Back to your calls on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Broadcasting live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor actually works on the source of your pain. Synthetic painkillers attack your capacity to feel pain. They work on the sense receptors, the pain receptors. Relief Factor's ingredients attack the source of the pain, the inflammation. That's why tens of thousands of Americans are getting relief today from this amazing product from Pete and South Talbot, including Debron of Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I'm feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Thank you, Debron, for sharing. Don't you deserve to find out if you could be the next Debron? I think you do. It's so easy. Call Relief Factor, 800-500-8384, or go to ReliefFactor.com and order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening, just like I do. And I promise you, I guarantee, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you like it works for me. ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Alliance Defending Freedom.
What is the truth about race in America? Well, there's a new book by Bishop Aubrey Shines, founder of Conservative Clergy of Color. 8 questions about race arms you, the conservative, with rebuttals to Black Lives Matter. Are all white people racist? Is the justice system unfair to Black Americans? This book is a must-read for anyone who cares about our country, our churches, and our children, and the lies of BLM. Get your copy. Go to 8questionsaboutrace.com. While you're there, buy copies for friends, neighbors, and fellow churchgoers. That's 8questionsaboutrace.com. Portions of America First are brought to you by 8questionsaboutrace.com. We need to go to our calls. It's been too long. Jeff in Connecticut, welcome back. Line 2.
Hello, Doctor. This is your doppelganger, the only one that looks better in a kilt than you do. Hold on, please.
I'm jealous. I would love to be able to wear a kilt. I think kilts are cool.
Well, it all depends on the knees, Doctor.
It does, and I have been told I have very nice knees. But they will stay hidden for the time being. Yes!
We had quite an incident here in Connecticut last week.
What happened?
It was a town official, not a major town official, but somebody that was, you know, involved with the town, decided he was going to issue a threat to the Connecticut GOP. He said, I'm going to go find me some poll watchers and make them uncomfortable after I vote. It did not turn out well for him.
Where did he make the threat?
I think it was on Facebook, and that's why I called.
Okay.
His account is still floating. His account is still up and running. So they're shutting people down that are basically telling the truth But this guy's account is still up.
So what happened to this individual who threatened the GOP poll watchers? How did it not end up well for him?
Well, I believe the town select woman and the rest of the town officials relieved him of his post.
Oh, good. All right. I was thinking of something else. All right. Well, yeah, you're absolutely, Jeff, the broader point is well taken. The accounts that wish ill, that wish violence, the most vilest of accounts on Facebook and Twitter, as long as they are attacking conservatives, they're fine. They're not canceled. They're not suspended. They're not locked like Charlie Kirk's. But if you're a conservative, yeah, you know the truth. It's not social media. It's propaganda. And it counts as billions of dollars worth of in-kind contributions to Biden, Harris, and the DNC. And that's why things need to change. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Guess who's coming on next? My old buddy, Sean Spicer. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.